from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Insiders, get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. The range of opinions on Zach Edey in the chatty house is crazy.
Wild. It's all over the place.
We got Edey has bad footwork. He's big AF and loves to play physical. I think he'll be a beast in the paint on both ends. Grizz trying to recreate the Steven Adams Triple J dynamic. Zach played one summer league game and was too injured to play the rest. Didn't Edey just start playing basketball not that long ago? Teams are going to put Edey in the pick and roll and absolutely destroy him. Fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, we've seen big guys like this who just, they get to the league and the league is just too fast, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
It's just too fast, so I'm intrigued.
We'll talk about this here in a bit with the ESPN NBA predictions. We'll roll through those, but I don't think there's a team I'm more interested to watch play basketball this season than Memphis. The range of outcomes for them is so vast. You could tell me literally anything about the 2024-25 Memphis Grizzlies and I will believe you.
I totally agree. I mean, I think, you know, it kind of plays into the conversation we're going to have here. The ESPN rankings, you know, they believe that Zach Edey's going to be just fine. Yeah. They have Zach Edey as, I think, the rookie of the year or the runner-up rookie of the year.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
And, I mean, that's intriguing. They also have Memphis, like, skyrocketing. It's a weird team. Like the reason we've kind of focused on them is just very specifically because of the big man conversation. Mm-hmm. And like, where does that put them?
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm opening this season up, like with Zach Edey and I'm trying to rank where he's going to be amongst NBA centers, like 25,
I have no idea. Probably. I genuinely have no clue,
but that's where like my, your preseason ranking has to be around there.
Yeah, sure.
You've got
you
got all these other players where you're like, okay, like, would I rather have Derek Lively on my team? Yeah, I would.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'd rather have Daniel Gafford. Maybe I'd rather have either one of those guys. But I certainly am, you know, like, where do you put him? And I think it's going to be interesting to see how that team sort of formulates itself and whether they're able to recover and be the team that they were 2 years ago, where they're the number two seed in the Western Conference.
All right, we'll talk about these ESPN predictions here in a second and get into some NBA talk. But first, you know, I got to tell you, I typically, when Mitch in New Jersey calls in,
mm-hmm.
I typically say it's time for everybody's favorite segment, but Mitch is taking shots at me on the internet, telling me how to be a radio host.
Oh, no.
And trying to tell me how to do my job.
Oh.
And trying to tell me that I'm doing things wrong, and I'm sure there are things I do wrong, but if you understand the circumstances, if you actually knew what you were talking about, Mitch, you would understand the circumstances that we're under, where it's just me and James. We don't have a producer. We don't have a board op. We're doing a million different things. I'm sorry that I didn't get to your call as soon as you wanted me to get to it. So, Mitch, please regale us with your takes, and then we'll move on. Go ahead.
Hi, James, Kyle. I was really just trying to be funny.
I know, Mitch. I'm messing. I'm messing with you. What's up, dude?
You got me again. But the way my mind's when I hear the busy signal, or you don't have no.
I know. I get it. I get it. No, I appreciate that you reach out and let me know that I have not. I appreciate. I'm going to turn you down. I appreciate that you have that you reach out and let me know that I have not unlocked the phone lines. Thank you so much. What did you want to say?
I should. I guess I agree with you. I mean, the big man. Well, I like all fives. You can do everything, including rebound, assist, block shots. But I think LeBron should play center. We still have to draft a big guy. Still, we need a big guy to help our Sabonis.
Mm-hmm.
And while we still drafting guys 6'3 and under, thanks for taking my call, James, Kyle. You know, enjoy.
See you, Mitch. Talk to you next time.
So I did not open the phone lines last week because I don't handle calls.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's,
we haven't gotten there. I need to make sure that I'm teaching how to do all this, but that's fine.
Well, no, but I would rather just say I don't know how to do it and not do it because I don't want to be rude and cut somebody off, and I haven't done it enough where it's like, sure. All right. Like,
yeah, I got you.
Yeah. So I, like last week, people were like, hey, open the phone lines. And I'm like, yeah, I'll pass. Jesse's like, I can open the phone lines and I'll call screen. I'm like, no, that's okay. I'm good.
No.
Sean's like, hey, why aren't we taking calls? I'm like, yeah, Sean, we don't need to take calls. You and I can sit here and talk for 6 hours straight, let alone a 2 hour show. We're good.
916-909-1320, 916-909-1320, if you'd like to join the conversation. The phone lines are now open, thanks to Mitch. All right, so air horn?
Oh, I didn't know how to do air horns.
You didn't know how to
either.
Do air horns? Oh, man.
I can't
that's
do
an
air
easy,
horns.
That's an easy one.
Yeah. Yeah, we couldn't. I didn't know how to do air horns for your birthday, so we kind of figured it out.
No.
I don't know.
Thanks, man. Applause for me. Have a birthday.
There you go.
All right. ESPN prediction. So what? I'm just going to kind of go through these, and if there's something that jumps out, we will talk about it.
Okay.
So ESPN is doing a series of predictions. Their first one, they're releasing one each day. And the first one is biggest turnarounds, turbulent teams, and the biggest questions of the 2024-2025 season. The team with the biggest turnaround, and this is as voted on by ESPN's panel of experts, 42% of the first place votes for the team to have the biggest turnaround is the team we were just talking about, the Memphis Grizzlies, Zach Edey's Memphis Grizzlies.
Mm.
And like, this is where I will... If you were super pro Memphis Grizzlies, like, man, I think they're going to be awesome this year, I would happily just jump on the other side of the fence and be like, eh. But you're more skeptical about the Grizzlies because I think there's a lot of people who are out there like, yeah, the Grizzlies are going to be awesome. So I think I tend to lean more towards, yeah, I think they're going to be pretty good. But I also have I don't have a strong feeling either way. I think they're going to be better than they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think they will be at minimum in the play-in. Now, do they launch themselves up to the top six? Maybe. They were the 2 seed 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So maybe they're back there, but I just don't. I have to see it before I'm ready to be like, oh yeah, Memphis is going to be awesome. I can't get there.
It's a totally different team.
Very different.
Yeah, so like if you rewind to who they were like 2 years earlier.
We can do that.
Like right? Steven Adams is there, right? Mm-hmm. They make the big move to bring in Marcus Smart. Like I like some of the moves they made, but I would also caution people that Jaren Jackson Jr. is not the player he was before. Mm-hmm. And he looks a lot more like a John Collins player arc than mm-hmm. he does a guy who's going straight to the top.
Yep.
And whatever happened to him, I'm not sure. Desmond Bain missed an entire, like a huge portion of last season. Marcus Smart missed almost all of last season.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you're looking at 29, 30-year-old Marcus Smart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I like some of the moves they make, and I think that they might be a team that has the defensive versatility to really be different.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that you're basing a lot of what you think is going to happen with that team off of Ja Morant just coming back and being like this all-world player.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible that he is, right? It's sure. totally possible. It's also possible that he gets on Instagram and does something stupid again, because that came, like, the reason he got suspended is because he didn't do something one time. He did it twice in the span of, like, no time, and showed sure. you that he probably wasn't ready to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's got a shoulder injury. He's, you know, hopefully he'll be back to the player he was before athletically and everything else, but that doesn't mean that the rest of the team is just on the rise. Their mm-hmm. their team is very different than they were the year before.
Mm-hmm.
They've made a lot of changes, you know.
Here's two things with that 2023 Grizzlies team.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Ja came back last year and was a force and was really good until he got hurt. But let's go back to 2023.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we talk about all the time with the Kings was, yeah, they were the three seed, but man, they won 48 games in a normal year. That's you know, fringe top six.
Yep.
The Grizzlies were the two seed that year. They won 51. That would have tied them for fourth in the West. And I say that because if you go to their top 12 in minutes played from the 2022-2023 season, Dylan Brooks, gone. Steven Adams, gone. Tyus Jones, a huge piece of the puzzle when Ja Morant was out, gone. Brandon Clark, gone.
He's there, but...
I'm sorry. Brandon Clark got hurt, TBD on it.
He hasn't played in a year.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the correction. Xavier Tillman, gone. That's their top 12. That's half of their top 12. A quarter of their top 12.
Yeah.
A third of their top 12? Math. A third of their top 12, gone.
The stability of the team is very different.
Yeah, man. And maybe they like I said, maybe they figure it out. And maybe Ja Morant is just this all-world basketball force who plays 75 games and the Grizzlies are winning 50-plus and they don't miss a beat.
Mm-hmm.
But man, there are so many variables with them. Even outside of... There's the basketball variables for sure. But then there's... Desmond Bane's got like a back thing. Ja Morant, all of the stuff with him that could go wrong. You just mentioned injury stuff, off-court stuff. Are we ready to anoint Jaren Jackson Jr.? I'm not. There's all the questions about Zach Edey. Marcus Smart, is he going to be healthy enough to play?
Hey,
if he does, can he be as impactful or more impactful than Dylan Brooks?
Jaren Jackson has played over 70 games one time in his career.
I mean...
These are the players that, again, they might be able to jump up, and I love GG Jackson.
No doubt. No doubt.
I love some of the things that they've been able to do, but mm-hmm. at the same time, what does GG Jackson look like when the game is actually real? Because last year, the game wasn't real. It just wasn't. Like, mm-hmm. he's going out there and doing whatever he wants.
I think GG's going to be good.
No, I think so, but you still can't gauge off of a season where you've just cashed in and he's out there shooting as many times as he wants.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not the way it goes. And, you know, you talked about the situation with Ja. They won like the first four games that he mm-hmm. came back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they went 3-2. They went 2-3 in mm-hmm. the final four games that he played.
Mm-hmm.
So he only played 8 games.
And I think the more impressive thing to
nine
me,
games, sorry.
I think the more impressive thing to me was that he came back. He played 61 games the previous year. Came back in the middle of the year and averaged 25-8-5. I'm sorry, 25-8-6.
Yeah, but it was in 9 games.
I don't care.
Yeah.
He came back and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Like that's what matters to me. I mean, the previous season he averaged 26-6-8. He was just on his previous season's averages off the rip.
No, that's true.
He might just be that. Maybe he just comes back and he's 26-6-8. And is an all-star and lifts that. I am very, very skeptical of Memphis as a shoe-in playoff team.
Yeah, what I want to see how Taylor Jenkins puts the team back together,
mm-hmm.
because this is really, you know, like Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah.
Like they fell off the wall and everything and broke.
And are we sure Taylor Jenkins is a good coach?
I think he's a guy who is a leader of men. He's a rally guy. He has everybody playing hard the entire time they're mm-hmm. on the court. But it's really tough when you lose that identity mm-hmm. for a year or two. You have. You've lost the identity. So how does he regain that identity? How does he put it back together and get the same, some of the same players to get back to who they were? And that's really tough, man, because some of the players we're talking about, they lost their way under him. Like Jaren Jackson Jr., he lost his way under this coach last season. And you can say, well, you know, he didn't have the rest of the crew. It's like, okay, well, why didn't he take advantage of that? Why didn't he average 27 points a game? And it seemed like GG Jackson was like, hey, I got this.
Yeah, 18-year-old GG Jackson.
Yeah, I'm good. I want to be the guy, but...
It feels like their biggest potential downfall. We talk about this in international basketball.
Yeah.
Like, hey, how does Serbia keep up with the U.S.? And it's because these guys play together all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the big talking point is, man, these guys have been playing together. Germany, these guys have all been playing together for years. Da-da-da-da-da. I think that's where a team like Sacramento has an advantage over a team like Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Where, hey, yeah, maybe you're super high on Memphis and you love Jaren Jackson, you love Ja Morant, you think Desmond Bane could be an all-star and this and that. But like, dude, it's everything you just said. They are ostensibly starting from square one this year.
Yeah, I mean, Desmond Bane played 42 games last year. Yeah. Marcus Smart played 20 games last year. This is what you're, GG Jackson, we talked about like up-and-coming young player, played 48 games.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to piece this thing together.
Yeah.
On the fly, and your enforcer and the guy who was the backbone of your team is gone.
Yeah.
Like, Steven Adams is gone. The guy who, like, regulated everything is no longer there. So, yeah, it's interesting stuff.
Yeah. Number two on that list, San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just banking on Wemby, right?
That's a lot of wishful thinking.
I get...
That feels like a ESPN bias. Like this is a guy we all want to watch.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we're there.
Nah, I like the inclusion of Chris Paul. I like the inclusion of Harrison Barnes. They needed some adults in the room for sure.
Yeah,
and those are two of the adultiest adults in the NBA. So maybe with San Antonio. But again, even if San Antonio has an awesome, San Antonio won 22 games last year.
Yeah, so I guess they should be a team.
They could win 20 more games, and they would have been four games back of a play-in spot.
Yeah, they could double their win total and still finish the season five games out.
Yes, yeah. But from a pure like turnaround standpoint,
I think you might be right.
If you told me a team in the West doubled their win total,
it's San Antonio.
I think I'm circling San Antonio to win 44 before I'm circling Memphis to win 54.
Mm, yeah,
Memphis won 27 last year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
Number three,
Golden State at number three. Sure, man.
We talked about this.
Dude, we did. Yeah. No, we talked about this before. Look, here's where I'm at. Golden State is what they are at this point.
Yeah.
If you want to make the argument that they are better in 2023 and 2024, if you want to argue that they're going to be better this season than they were last season, fine. Another year of Brandon Pajemski, maybe you get another leap from Jonathan Kuminga, maybe Trace Jackson Davis is a little bit better, maybe Moses Moody actually plays. There's all these ways that, yeah, no doubt, they can be better. But I just, again, the third biggest leap, or the number three to make a huge leap, Golden State won 46 games last year. I don't believe, and again, I say this as a person who grew up rooting for the Warriors, I don't believe that there is a version of this team as currently constructed, that goes and hauls off and wins 50, let's see, how many more would they need to win to win the West last year? 12? That wins 12 more games? They're going to be 12 games better?
Man, I think...
On the flip side of that, I don't think they're going to be way worse. I think they're going to be in that 44 to 48 win range.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what they are at this point.
I think it's tough because when I look at teams, like let's just compare the Kings really fast. We know De'Aaron Fox is their best player, right? And on a playoff team, he can be a 1A, right? We know that Domantas Sabonis is number one, number two. And on this Kings team, he's probably your second best player. We know that DeMar DeRozan is probably your third best player. And these are like on a playoff team. I think that Keegan Murray and Malik Monk can be your fourth and fifth best players, right? And then I look at the Warriors and I look at Steph Curry and, okay, he's a 1A without any question. Even at his age, he's still a 1A. It doesn't matter. Do they have a second best player? And is that second best player a second best player? Like, if you're looking at
it's
him,
it's probably
like,
Kuminga. Jonathan Kuminga is probably their second best player, although they might tell you it's Potts.
Okay. But if we're looking at, like, a Major League Baseball starting rotation, do they have a guy in that group that is even a fifth starter? Like, will there be five starters on the court for them? Yes. But, like, even if you're looking, like, through the right lens, are any of these guys what you would consider a number two, a number three? There's no other ace on this team. And so I get to the point where it's like, okay, Kuminga can be a nice player, but can he be the fourth or fifth best player on a really good team?
Right, and they're relying on him to be probably their second best guy.
Yeah, and Wiggins, is he your fifth best player on a good team?
And let me pause on the Wiggins thing real quick.
Yeah.
Because Andrew Wiggins was, we saw this recently, the second best player on a team that won a championship.
Yes.
He went into those playoffs and was just he was the version of Andrew Wiggins, particularly in the finals, that everybody had been wanting to see from Andrew Wiggins since he got drafted first overall.
Yep.
It was like, oh my God, he figured it out. Watch out. And they paid him based on the strength of that.
Yep.
And now he has just been, since then, just the Andrew Wiggins we knew prior to his arrival in Golden State. So what I now have in my mind is, oh, the championship run was the outlier.
He
did not turn some corner. He just is what he is. So to that point, if a Warriors fan wants to step in and go, hey, Andrew Wiggins is the second best guy. We just saw him be the second best guy on a title team. Like, yeah, in theory, show me the evidence, though, before or since those two or three series where he was awesome.
Well, I would just put it this way, like super easy. If you had, I'll give you three players and you have to choose, but rank them. Malik Monk, Keegan Murray, Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, Wiggins is third for me.
Okay. But I mean, that's my point. And like, again, Draymond Green is still a functional NBA player, but on a championship team, he can be your fifth best player.
Yeah, he can anchor your defense and orchestrate your offense.
Okay.
But you're not relying on him for
much. Then we look at DeAnthony Melton, who's like a 7-8. You look at Kyle Anderson, he's like a 7-8. You look at Buddy Hield, he's like an 8-9. You look at Pajemski and you don't know. You trace Jackson Davis. And like, so I don't understand how you get from that, what we're talking about right now, like just pure roster construction of where guys will rank on your team, to like that team's going to take a leap.
So the reason we're talking about this is because we're going through the NBA predictions and the Warriors are behind Memphis and San Antonio as teams that are going to take a leap this year. As voted on by ESPN's experts. And I would love to know the logic. I want to know what the people who voted for them are looking at that I'm missing.
Yeah.
Because I would love to be more optimistic. I'd love to sit here and go, oh yeah, no, for sure. That's a playoff team. No doubt. Yeah.
No, they feel like a 42 to 40 win team. 44 win team.
Yeah.
Like, and that's not being disrespectful.
I think that we're nitpicking now. I think they could be about as good as they were last year where they're winning 46.
Okay.
But I don't, like, are they winning, I don't think they're winning 50 games.
No, so much would have to go right.
I would love to know. I want to know. I want to talk to the person that believes, and maybe it's Drew Down. I'd love to talk to the person who believes this, because I would love to be talked into this season as somebody who wants to see Golden State do well.
No,
but I can't. I can't get there, dude.
And we look at number four and it's Phoenix. I get why Phoenix is number four.
No doubt.
I watch what Devin Booker did in the Olympics.
Yep.
I watched some of their moves and I thought, oh,
yes.
Okay, you got Tyus Jones. Oh, yes. you got a Plumlee.
Yes.
Oh, okay. There's no more Eric Gordon as your fifth starter.
The path to the Suns making, and again, we're talking, so its biggest turnaround.
Yeah.
Is the prompt here. And you could talk me into Phoenix going and winning. They won 49 last year. You could talk me into Phoenix winning like 57 games and winning the West.
Yeah.
You could draw the path and go, okay, that's logical.
Yep.
I can't get there with Golden State.
No.
I sure would like to. I can't do it. Rounding this out, we got to hit the break. Milwaukee and Philadelphia. Round out the top five.
I can see both of those teams taking a jump just because they've mixed it up.
Yep.
Milwaukee, it's just about health.
Yep. The Kings tied for seventh, by the way.
Yep.
With Houston and Orlando.
I'm down with that.
Yeah,
I think Orlando can take a big leap. I think Houston can take a big leap, and I think the Kings can take a big leap.
Yeah, I have them about in that same bucket. I think that's fair. We'll continue rolling through this next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We can talk about the Thunder just as soon as the voice guy introduces us. Voice guy, please.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
We are brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Thanks, voice guy. Mm. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Damian Barling going to join us for the handoff in about 10 minutes. We get that computer in?
Yeah. I think here's a, you know, somebody asked about the Leezy in the chat. Says, hey, what about the Thunder? Right?
Yeah.
And the Thunder don't show up on, I guess, turnaround. I don't know how you talk about them as a turnaround team, but at the same time, like, I think they can be better than they were the year before. And
here's how we'll get into this. So there's teams that take the biggest tumble in these ESPN predictions. Lakers, mm-hmm. Clippers, Hawks, Bulls, Nuggets, and Bucks are all in the top five. Hawks and Bulls tied for three. Nuggets and Bucks tied for fifth. Golden State also in that list, tied for eighth with Phoenix, oddly enough.
Yes.
Chet Holmgren is number two in the prediction for player to get their first all-star nod.
Oh.
Chet Holmgren behind Victor Wembanyama.
That's going to be really tough.
Dude, that is going to be the Chet v. Victor battle.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the fact that it looks like they're heading towards matching up in the 2028 Olympics in LA. That's going to be really fun to watch for a long time. And I think it's going to be fun to watch in part because Oklahoma City is going to be very, very good for a long time. And San Antonio is also trending that direction.
No, I totally agree. But in order for Chet Holmgren to make a run into contention for an all-star game,
mm-hmm.
like you got to get past, to Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get past, I mean, Domantas Sabonis didn't make the all-star team last year.
Mm-hmm.
And like Chet Holmgren did some good things, but he wasn't 20, almost 14 and 8.
He was 16.5, 8 and 2.5 with 2.3 blocks.
Yeah.
Like
so
he was excellent rookie, winning rookie of the year in almost every other year.
Yeah. And I would say like Victor Wembanyama right. for me is a shoe-in for an all-star bid.
Yeah. He's going to get in because of he just is.
Well, yeah, I mean, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. Like, he will make the All-Star team every year that he's healthy in his career.
Yes.
From here on out, I believe.
I agree with you.
Like, I don't think that there's a way that you're going to look at him and say, oh, he's going to take some step back. No, mm-hmm. no. Physically, if he holds up, he's going to be there. I think it makes life for Domantas Sabonis, like, extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for him to get into the All-Star game again
mm-hmm.
over the next couple of years is going to be, like, I still think that he can be an All-NBA player
mm-hmm.
because of the stats and because of the wins. But at the same time, I think it's going to be very difficult to make an All-Star team.
Yeah, because you've got, how many guys are just, like, stamped? Like, mm-hmm. as long as they are not hurt or just putting up historically bad numbers, Jokic is getting in.
LeBron.
Anthony Davis, Minnesota, if they're any good, is going to get at least one of their two front court guys.
Anthony Davis is getting in. I mean, Anthony Edwards is getting in, I would assume, but I don't know about the other two.
He's a back court guy, though.
Yeah. But front court guys, maybe.
Didn't they both get in this year?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Did they both
get in?
No, I don't think so. I'll look right now. Let's see.
For some reason, I thought both of their front court guys got in.
So Karl Anthony Towns did get in.
Right.
And
Rudy Gobert did not.
Rudy Gobert did not.
Okay. So Karl Anthony Towns got in. So I think one of their two front court guys will get in. Maybe not. But that's just, even if you're just going LeBron, AD, Jokic, Wembanyama.
Yep.
That's four spots right there that are just spoken for already.
Yeah. I think you do. You had Paul George go to the Eastern Conference.
Yep.
So that will open up a spot.
Mm-hmm.
But then the rest of the guys, I don't know. I don't think you're going to take Steph Curry off the All-Star team. I don't think LeBron James is going to dip statistically enough.
Nope.
I think it's very possible Anthony Davis could get hurt and miss too many games mm-hmm. and not make the All-Star team.
Alperen Şengün
is going to be
in the mix.
Like he's on the short list of guys that are coming for a roster spot. So I don't know, like, this list, so Wembanyama, yes, Chet Holmgren, that's just going to be really tough for Chet. Mikal Bridges in the East, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray, I think that's
going to
be virtually impossible.
I'm out, dude. I'm out on Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
Being an all-star.
Yeah.
He's going to be Jamal Murray, he's going to be fine, he's not going to be an all-star caliber player the regular season, he's going to go to the postseason, he's going to be awesome, he's going to hit a bunch of winning shots, he's going to average 28 and 9.
Yeah.
Like, yep. That's what Jamal Murray is at this point.
But I would put De'Aaron Fox and again, Ja Morant could come back and be an all-star. Like, those guys are more in line for that position.
I would agree. I would agree with you,
yep.
for sure. But also, they wouldn't be first-time all-stars. Oh, I see what you're saying. They're going to take a spot that he would. Cade Cunningham in the East, Evan Mobley.
Okay.
Buddy Hield of the Golden State Warriors.
How does Buddy Hield get 3 points in this and Alperen Şengün gets one? I'm confused like how this happened. And that's why I hate these lists.
I love this so much. Hell yeah.
That's
I'm going to make it my
lists.
Personal mission to get Buddy Hield into the All-Star game.
That's right. You're going to send out things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this next category.
Player to make the biggest impact on their new team?
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul George with the Sixers, one, obviously.
Yep.
Mikal Bridges with the Knicks.
Okay.
All right. Alex Caruso with the Thunder is third.
That's interesting.
That's really interesting.
And is he starting? Is he coming off the bench?
Probably starting.
I think he's starting because he also appears on the next list or on another list.
Jalen Williams, Chet,
SGA. Shea.
Maybe Jalen Williams comes off the bench?
I don't think so.
Caruso's got to be coming off the bench.
You don't think he starts with Shea in the backcourt?
I think where Jalen Williams would start?
No, he starts the three.
Huh.
I think the guy, the odd man out, is Lu Dort.
Lu Dort, sixth man of the year?
Yeah, but he's not on that list.
Huh.
Yeah, I'm intrigued because where are you going to put Lu Dort? Because you went out and you paid a Harkenstein $29 million a year to play alongside Chet. So who's going to start at the three? Who's going to start at, where does Lu Dort start? Where does Lu Dort play?
Mm.
Yeah. Interesting, right? So that's...
DeMar DeRozan, fourth.
Yes.
For the Sacramento Kings, Chris Paul, five, Klay Thompson, six. I think DeRozan is going to have... I think he's going to... Here, let me say this. I think Paul George is the clear-cut number one on this list.
Mm-hmm.
Just because Joel Embiid... His health is a huge question mark, but having a player like Paul George to kind of lean on, I think is a big deal, and he's just going to get opportunities.
Yep.
Mikal Bridges, the Knicks are going to be good. He's a really good player.
I think he'll impact winning, but statistically, I could see Mikal Bridges dropping to 14, 15 points per game.
Yeah, right, so that's just it, is I think the Knicks are kind of going to be what they are, and Mikal Bridges is going to help enhance that, and they're going to be a little bit better. But I think there's a chance if the Kings make a dramatic leap that DeMar DeRozan is just front and center.
No, I'm with you.
And that's where if you told me that Oklahoma City was awesome this year, my first thought is not, oh, well, they got Alex Caruso.
Unless they're the number one rated defense in the NBA or something.
Sure. If you told me the Knicks were awesome, my first thought is not, oh, Mikal Bridges. It's like, no, they brought back OG. They have Josh Hart is still there. Jalen Brunson is probably an MVP candidate.
Julius Randle got healthy.
Julius Randle's healthy. Yeah, there's all these things. If you told me, hey, the Kings won 55 games, we're like, wow, the DeMar thing worked.
Yes.
That's my first. It's not like, oh, Keegan Murray took a leap or De'Aaron Fox averaged 30 or Domas averaged 27. Like, no, it's just, oh, DeMar DeRozan went there and it just unlocked everything for the Kings.
I agree with you 100%.
So that's where my
yeah,
that's where I land. But again, this is just
a list.
This is not a next superstar likely to request a trade. This is fun. Brandon Ingram one, tied with Zach LaVine. Trae Young three, Jimmy Butler and Kevin Durant and Darius Garland all tied for four.
Well, first of all, I think they should have. Titled this next star to request a trade.
That was my first thought reading this.
Please don't say superstar and then throw Brandon Ingram, Zach LaVine, Trae Young, even Jimmy Butler at this point. You can say that about Kevin Durant, but Darius Garland's not a superstar.
yeah. Everybody's definition of superstar is different, but I just don't. That was the first thing that jumped out is, okay, even if you're saying star, I don't think Darius Garland fits. But anyways, it's
you could say star like level
Garland.
Player.
I like Darius Garland fine. He's been an all-star. And I think he's a little bit hindered by his circumstances. But what would be the most interesting of these to you? This player requested a trade. Which one, you get that notification from Woj or Shams or whoever? Or you hear it from whoever you're talking to. What's the one that perks your ears up the most or really makes you go like, oh?
Man, it's between Butler and Durant. Like if Durant requests a trade, it's because everything has gone wrong.
Yes.
Everything. That's a 37-win team and they can't stay healthy and they're dealing with just more of the same from some of their long injured players. Bradley Beal can't play at all.
That's where I think Jimmy Butler would be the one for me.
Okay.
It would just be the most surprising because I think Jimmy Butler just, I know he's played for four teams now, Sixers, Timberwolves, Bulls?
Yeah.
Heat?
Yeah, I think that's it.
The Heat, he's just synonymous with the Heat now. Like, I feel like he embodies that culture.
Yep.
And even if they weren't playing well, I would have a hard time seeing Jimmy Butler being like, I want out of here.
Yeah, but you have to remember that they didn't pay him this mm-hmm. offseason.
That's true.
And so he's going in without a contract.
Yeah.
And not only that, but he's also been the guy that Pat Riley kind of got into it with.
Yeah.
About whether or not he wants to play all the time or not.
I would be more surprised if Brandon Ingram, Zach LaVine, and Trae Young didn't request trades.
Traded. Whether they request trades sure. or not, that they didn't get traded.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I have a question to ask. I want to bring this back around to the Damian Lillard thing we were talking about earlier.
Okay.
Because I was waiting for the handoff with Damian Barling, and Damian Barling is here in the building. Let me make sure your mic is up and on. There we go. Welcome in, Damian Barling, everybody. We've got it.
What?
Your microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Has the volume turned up on it?
Thank you. Hey, man.
Can't say anything.
You really can't. It is not safe here.
Your 1,000th show is tomorrow. Is that correct?
It is.
Live show here?
Live show.
Is that
right
correct?
Out there. That's correct. Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
I had no idea until yesterday.
Well, that's not good. Are you serious? You didn't know?
We didn't really get the memo. Yeah. We didn't. Luckily, I'm an avid D'Lo and KC listener.
No, that is very concerning because it makes me wonder how many other people here don't know that we're hosting our 1,000th show. Right out there with 50 of the greatest members of the Chatty House in our audience live in attendance. Oh. Shout out Kiki's Chicken, who's catering the event.
Oh, word?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will be in attendance then.
Yeah, it's going to be. Shout out to Cody Starks and Good Day Sacramento. And we've already had our first big guest cancel, so that's been awesome.
Excellent.
We were so hyped. Like, Big Sean was going to be on the show to hype the new album on Friday.
Oh.
And he's ill, so he didn't just cancel D'Lo and KC. He, you know, canceled his media tour.
Oh, brutal.
So, yeah, that kind of sucks, but the show is going to be amazing.
Do you want me to step in? I can wear a Tiger's hat.
I would love that. Yeah.
Okay.
Big
yeah,
Kyle.
I'll just step yeah. in. Yeah, for sure.
There it is.
That. The whole blocks behind me or whatever he said.
Okay.
Like I'm pulling out the driveway.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Right?
You got it. You nailed it.
Yeah, okay,
you nailed
good.
It. No, it's good.
So I was listening to a podcast over the weekend and they brought this question up and Damian, this goes, D'Lo and Casey, by the way, coming up at noon. This goes to something that we talked about when I was with you and KC and you talked about, would you rather be a Hall of Famer with no rings or have a ring but not a Hall of Fame player.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not exactly the same, but the podcast brought it up and I thought it was interesting. Would you rather be Damian Lillard or Drew Holiday? They're both going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Man, that's tough. Two championships and a gold medal.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd rather be Drew Holiday.
I would too.
I think so too.
But like as Dame, that dude.
Dame has some iconic moments.
Right.
Like I don't know, like Drew Holiday's story with the Boston Celtics in 2024 will live forever.
Yes.
Like when you tell the story of the Boston Celtics, yes. like you'll
picked up Drew Holiday and that was
But you have to tell the story of the Boston Celtics. Dame has moments that are going to live for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dame has highlights that will be played forever.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we had a discussion about him yesterday. I don't know where all this Dame Lillard talk is coming from, but we had a discussion about him yesterday being, you know, one of the greatest, a top five point guard of all time. And that launched a discussion and then greatest, you know, shooter of all time, second greatest shooter of all time. And he's a unique player that, you know, it's where I genuinely feel bad for teams like Portland. Like Portland needed to make a move and they either couldn't or didn't.
Mm-hmm.
If they couldn't, I feel bad for them. Mm-hmm. Like they couldn't go from really good to championship contender.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't, well, then that's your own ineptitude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's your fault. But I do think teams like Portland, like Sacramento, like those smaller market teams are at a bit of a disadvantage where you have to essentially You have to do what Toronto did. Toronto, small, far from a small city, but maybe not the biggest destination in the in the association. You have to roll the dice. We have a really good team. We need a player who can put us over the top. We have to get rid of the guy who is our best player to acquire a guy who is even better.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the types of risks that you have to take when you're not Los Angeles and you're not Boston and you're not those types of teams. So it's tough for Dame in that sense, because I don't think he left anything on the table with Portland.
I don't think so either.
But it's hard to pass up on the accolades that Jrue Holiday has.
Yeah.
It's tough because when you like, Dame is a more household name than like De'Aaron Fox at this point in his career, right? But you can kind of put Fox in the same category. I mean, we're talking about a guy who averaged 26.5 points last year, led the league in steals, did everything possible, and he's not even recognized at all. Like, he doesn't make an all-star team. You got, like, the top 19 scorers in the league make the all-star team except for one guy, the guy who's number 10. And you're like, what in the world is happening? But that's what it's like to play in a smaller market. And it's sort of the reality that Dame played in. And sure, Dame led his team to the Western Conference Finals one time.
But it also speaks to Dame, like, you have to excel above and beyond. Like, you just mentioned what De'Aaron did last year. A top 10 scorer and no acknowledgement midway through the season? Like, when you're in Portland, when you're in Sacramento, top 10 ain't going to cut it. You got to be top 5.
Yep.
And in some cases, you might have to be top 3. And Dame did that a lot.
Yeah.
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 He's a great player.
Absolutely.
But
he's still a great player. The idea that the Bucks are cooked are silly. And that's what sparked our conversation yesterday. Is that we had like this, and I did it a little bit with James in the 3 o'clock hour, like a buy or sell thing with the Hoop Collective. And the three main teams of focus were, I think it was the Nuggets, Timberwolves, and Bucks. And we kind of spent some time on the Nuggets and then went to the Bucks. And it feels like I think we're writing off Dame and Giannis like a little too quick. Like, they went through a coaching change you can form your own conclusions as to what happened there. But the Adrian Griffin thing felt snake bit from the start.
It was weird.
And, you know, when you have Terry Stouts just walking out, a guy who's pretty universally respected across the league, that is a bizarre thing to see. And then it ends up with him being out, Doc's coming in. You're writing your own obituary at that point when you bring Doc Rivers in to save the day. And Doc has some demons that he has to overcome too. And if they're going to get to the promised land, they're going to have to do it together.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you. But I they're a team that I just write off in my mind because of their last two playoff performances, right?
That's understandable.
They lost to an 8 seed, and then they lost to a Indiana team that I didn't think was going to really go anywhere. And credit to Indiana, they go to the conference.
I thought they were maybe a year early, as they say.
Yeah, but it's easy to forget. You know, Giannis was out of both of those series basically, and if he comes back and he's healthy this year, and he and Dame have another year to kind of figure it out, it's really easy to see the Bucks being awesome.
Because we could play the if game forever. Because you could do that with Philadelphia too.
We've been talking about Memphis a lot today. Memphis is another team that lands there.
I'd say the Bucks' window is closing, though, so quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like this year or bust. Because Lopez is 35, 36. Middleton is completely falling apart.
It's probably the same or a very similar trajectory to the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Like, the Nuggets window is closing pretty quickly. And it's not because of the demise of Michael Malone and Nikola Jokic or anything like that. It's that they have let so many key players to their championship squad be gone. And now Jamal Murray is looking really funny. And I think people do not like some of Jamal Murray's performances in the bigger games. And
without Jokic in the Olympics.
Well, the good thing is, though, in terms of this conversation, he has Jokic.
That's a good point.
But then you also have the Michael Porter thing. And so there's a lot to take into account, as if people can't see you waving at me to shut up. You should have just said, "Will you shut up? We got to go."
You're on
camera. They can see you. Like,
I know. Hey,
shut up, jackass.
That's for them. This is for the radio audience.
Oh, that's good.
Like, I'm like, hey, we got to go.
Yeah, no, let's get out of here.
Okay.
Am I out for the day too?
What?
I got to go move furniture and stuff.
Oh, okay.
I have a long day.
This has been it for D-Lo today.
No,
Kenny Garraway.
Kenny by himself.
D-Lo and KC next. James and I will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water and be nice, people. Boop.
Thanks, everybody.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.